Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's been a great day so far. You're supposed to say amen, right?
Amen.
The theme of this month has been Christ our source. Our source of hope, our source of peace, our source of joy, and today it's our source of love. And Christmas is all about love. The Christmas story is a love story. And today we're going to look at Joseph's love of Mary, Mary's love of Jesus, God's love of sinners, and our love for others. I want to read from John chapter 3 today, beginning in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, how grateful we are for your word that instructs us, guides us, directs us, brings us comfort and strength and encouragement. And Lord, today as we open your word, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, would be free to move in our lives and in this place. And Lord, whatever we do here, whatever is done in your name, I pray that you will honor it. We thank you for being present with us, and we pray that as we leave this place, we will live our lives for your glory and your glory alone. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It says here, God so loved the world. Does the world mean everyone? It absolutely does. God loves everyone. And I'll repeat this later in the sermon, but I just feel compelled to say it again. I talked to Jerry about this morning. God loves everyone. Are you an everyone? Am I an everyone? Well, let's get serious. God loves rapists, murderers, adulterers, thieves, liars. He loves lesbians and gays. He loves transsexuals. He loves everyone. And sometimes we don't agree. We think God only loves people like we are. You know, God is not just loving white Americans. God loves the people of the world. As a matter of fact, when I was in Sunday school as a little boy, I learned this song. Red and yellow, black and white, everyone is precious in his sight. By the way, God loves immigrants. God loves everyone. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that what? Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. One of the verses Wally's going to preach about beginning next year is that the church should be made up of all tribes and nations. Every tongue, every ethnicity is the church. And so we got some things to get together. We need to quit judging. We need to quit criticizing. We need to start loving people who aren't just like we are. I remember years ago when, and if you've been here any time at all, excuse me, you know that our son is gay. 2 years before Michael, we found out that Michael was sick. I preached a sermon about when AIDS comes to church, not knowing that it was going to come in the person of my son. And I had people in this place come to me after the sermon and say, if AIDS comes to this church, we're leaving. Is that not judgmental? Is that not critical? You know, we have people that we think don't deserve to be saved. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a promise. It's not for us to judge. Ted Bundy, anybody ever heard of Ted Bundy? Ted Bundy, a horrible serial killer. Yet all through his life, and he went to prison. James Dobson talked to Ted Bundy in prison, and Ted Bundy gave his life to Christ. Whether we think that's fair or not, when we die, Ted Bundy will be in heaven just like we are. Doesn't matter if you come to Christ as a little boy, thank God for Christopher and for others. Doesn't matter if you come to Christ on your deathbed. We come by faith in the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And by the way, he came to die for all sinners. He came to die for us sinners. One of the things Paul said was, it is a trustworthy statement and true of full, excuse me, trustworthy statement, that I am the chief of sinners. I'm the foremost sinner. If Paul saw himself as a sinner, why do we see ourselves as anything but? Paul, used by God in a phenomenal way, maybe more than anyone else in the New Testament outside of Jesus. Did God love him? Paul was a murderer. Paul was a persecutor of the church. And God loved him and saved him because of Paul's faith in him. Does God save everyone who cries out to him in faith? That includes people that we kick to the curb. Sometimes I wonder, if Jesus came to church on Sunday morning, would we recognize him? Would we? I would hope that we would, but sometimes we are so busy in ourselves, thinking about ourselves. We are so busy judging others. By the way, we don't only judge people who are murderers, rapists. We judge people who are more wealthy than we are. We judge people who are poorer than we are. We are a great nation of people who judge and criticize. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Do we love as God did? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life. I am grateful. I'm throwing a sermon away today, by the way. I am grateful that in November of 1972, I knelt by my bed and asked Christ to forgive my sin and ask him to come into my life. I'm grateful for that day. And I realized that I was a whosoever. All of us in this place who have confessed our sins and cried out to God for salvation are a whosoever. We don't always see it that way. By the way, we have politicians going to build the wall, going to tear the wall down, don't we? We have things in this country that we judge. Does Christ love immigrants? Did Jesus give his life for immigrants? He absolutely did. By the way, every one of us in this room is an ancestor of somebody who came to this country. And yet we judge and criticize. And we want to do certain things. God didn't say, I love Republicans. God didn't say, I love Democrats. God didn't say he loved senators or congresspeople, people in the House. What God said was, I love everyone. Jesus came to do what? To seek and to save those who were lost. We forget sometimes that we were one of those he came to seek and to save. We get casual with our faith. It's easy to look at others and say they're not like we are. I remember years ago, Jim, you remember this too, Jim and Pam Smith, who were friends from a long time ago. We used to feed people from Open Shelter, which was a place downtown for homeless people. By the way, the city closed the Open Shelter because they didn't want the homeless down the middle of town. And so where did they go? Under bridges? In parks? Behind dumpsters? Did Christ die for them? He absolutely did. But we had a person who would cook for those things and provide much of the food. And he said, God bless him, he said, I will cook the food, but I will not go down and serve it because some of those people deserve to be there. I want you to know this morning that most Americans are 6 months away from being homeless. Who's going to minister to us? If we lose our jobs, if we lose everything we have and we find ourselves on the street, who's going to minister to us? Because God expects us to love others. I've said 1,000,000,000 times. Is that a number, 1,000,000,000? It's a whole bunch, isn't it? I will say it till the day I die because I believe that it encompasses every teaching of God in the Bible. That we are to love God with everything we are and we are to love others. Whether they look like us, talk like us, act like us. I've been in churches like that. I was in a church where if you didn't look like, talk like, dress like, walk like, then you weren't. You ever been in that kind of a church? If you didn't read this particular translation of the Bible, you couldn't be. You certainly weren't a Christian. Well, I want you to know, you don't have to talk like somebody else. You don't have to walk like somebody else. The only thing we need to do is believe like others who have trusted Christ as their Savior. What are the works of God, Wally? That you believe in the one that I've sent. That's the work of God. Do we love others the way Christ loved us? Is the church the kind of place where we love others, where we accept others for who they are, that we minister to one another? Is the church that kind of a place? Is the church a family? Is it supposed to be? I'm grateful for this church because that's how we are most of the time. But too often in the church, we gossip and we complain and we criticize and we judge. What happens to a church like that? It splits. Does God expect that from us? What's God expect from us? From us to love others as he has loved us. How much did God love us? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only son. By the way, Jesus didn't just come to earth, he was sent to earth. Jesus not only was sent to earth, he came as a baby, he was also sent to go to the cross for us. I love baptism because it is a picture, a symbol of what God has done in a believer. It is our union with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I'm grateful for a 6-year-old boy. How old are you, Bella? 9. By the way, you remember when I baptized Bella, I said that's probably going to be my last one? I guess I was wrong there. You know, it really doesn't. I'm thankful for children that were baptized. Because they have the rest of their life to live for Christ. And I'm thankful that I've baptized a number of children. Now, I am thankful that I've baptized a number of adults here. Because what that tells me, what that tells all of us, is that people gave their lives to Christ. Some of you are responsible for that. Many of you were responsible for that. I've baptized a lot of children who grew up in homes, where moms and dad taught the children the things of God. We have a responsibility, parents. We have a responsibility, church. And our responsibility is to teach people what God expects, what God desires, what Christ gave his life for. I have no greater joy as a pastor than to see people give their lives to Christ and get in the water. Now, what we know is the water doesn't save anybody. You can go into the water, sinner, and you can come out of sinner. an unconfessed sinner, let's say that. A person who has not given their lives to Christ. But because of faith. I'm dying this morning. Because of our faith in Christ, we have the ultimate what? Assurance that one day we will be in heaven. We have the hope of being in Christ. I heard somebody say some time ago that sometimes the cross is preached too much in the church. That we ought to do some other things and we ought to preach about other things. And I agree. But when I was in school, they taught me to run every message through the cross. There are people, we don't know who's here today, the people who have not yet placed their faith in Christ. We don't know that someone in this place has not been born again. And so it is our responsibility, each one of ours, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm one of those who was lost. I look back at my life before I became a Christian, and I wasn't a bad guy, but there was a whole lot of sin in my life. But here's what I know. When I confessed my sin and received his forgiveness and asked Christ to come into my life, all that sin was washed away. Every bit of it. And that's true of everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, isn't it? Every single person. Every time, and y'all are doing pretty good at this, but every time somebody comes to faith in Christ, we ought to rejoice. Every time somebody is in that baptismal pool, we ought to rejoice. And y'all do a pretty good job of that. We ought to cheer. Not just for the person in the baptistry, but we ought to cheer for Jesus who did what they needed in order to be saved. I will always remember. The last few months, God has blessed us abundantly. We have baptized several people in the last few months. More in the last few months than we've probably done in the last 2 years. Would you agree? And I think that God is doing a marvelous thing in this place. Over the last few years, we've seen God do amazing things in this room and in the fellowship hall and in the hallways and in the bathrooms. God is doing a work here. And I believe that God will continue that work through Wally. God has called Wally to be the pastor of this church. I've prayed for years that the church would be ready to explode when I retire. You know why I prayed that? Because I'm seeing that at the end of my ministry. I'm seeing God do amazing things. And it's not because of who I am, it's because of who he is and what he's done, not through me, but through all of you. He's an amazing God. We need to love others. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, we love because what? He first loved us. It says in that passage as well that we love because God loved us. We love others because God loves us. The first fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. We are commanded to love. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you that you what? That you love one another. As I have loved you, so you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are what? My disciples. If you want to criticize somebody, will people know that you love them? If you want to gossip about somebody, will people understand that you love them? When, if people are crying and broken, and you go alongside them and you say, I'll pray for you, do they know you love them? If people are in need, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, he who has this world's goods and doesn't give them to someone else doesn't love them. In James, it says that we give because we've been given to. We demonstrate our faith because of the way we act it out. We're not saved by works, but our works prove our salvation. Do we really love God? Did y'all hear Christopher? Did you hear him? When Christopher said what? Shouldn't we all be saying yes? Christopher, you rock. And don't think for a minute that he didn't know exactly what he was doing when he made a profession of faith last week. Next week, we're going to baptize Isaac, who could not be here today. But last week, I was sitting in the hallway. And he came to me and said, I ask God to forgive my sins. How many adults are that honest? How many of us as adults will come to somebody else and say, I ask God to forgive my sins? Why? As adults, we start to pull back from people. As adults, we don't want others to know who we really are. I can tell you that, and I've told you before, when I first came to be the pastor of this church, we lived in Hebron, which is about 30 or 35 miles east of here. And we'd get up in the morning, three children. We did have two bathrooms. The older two kids get ready themselves, and Diane had to get Sarah ready. Sarah was 2.5 years old. And she was taking too long. And we had to be here at a certain time because the pastor needs to be here when Sunday school starts, doesn't he? He needs to be here a few minutes ahead of Sunday school. And Diane would be taking too long, and I'd get mad at her and say, why aren't you ready? Or I'd go outside in a car, and I'd begin to honk the horn. Hey, women, how does that work for you? And we would argue every mile on the way from Hebron to here. Every mile. But when we drove in that driveway, what happened? We put the big smile on because we didn't want people to know what was really going on in our lives. You can only fake it so long. By the way, what do we call that? I'm pretending that I'm something that I'm not. What do we call that? Being a hypocrite. When we love God the way we need to love Him, we won't be a hypocrite. We'll be honest with people. I can tell you that several years ago that some difficult things were happening in my life. And there were two people I trusted. And I told them what was going on in my life. And they got me through because of God working through them. One of them is sitting right here. The other is Jamie Barker. And I was able to talk to them and share everything that was going on in my life. And they understood it, and they loved me anyway because they realized that God's love was through them, and they needed to come alongside someone who was suffering. Someone who was in misery. Someone who was close to giving up. And in this room, there may be some people like that this morning who's suffering, who are close to giving up, and they need us. They need you to demonstrate your love of God for them. The question is, will we do it? Will we do it? I think we do a good job. We need to do a better job. But something else that needs to happen for that to happen is when I have a need, I need to tell somebody. You've got to tell somebody. Find someone that you know loves you and you can trust and sit down with them and pour your heart out. And they will love you anyway. And they will help you get through it. You know, Christmas isn't all a time of fun and games. There are a whole lot of people who've lost loved ones around Christmas. I think just a few weeks ago that a family member, one of Diane's cousin's grandchildren, dropped dead after eating peanuts. Dropped dead. The next day was his aunt's birthday. The day after that was his great-grandmother's birthday. They're going to need somebody this year. My grandmother died 2 days before Christmas. Diane's dad died just shortly after Christmas. My mother died 2 weeks after Christmas. We needed somebody to come alongside us and say, God loves you. I didn't need somebody to come up to me and say, I know how you feel, because they don't. But I needed to have someone come alongside me and say, I love you, I care for you, I'm here for you, I will pray for you. And that's how we demonstrate God's love to others, isn't it? We love because He first loved us. Christmas is about the Savior. It is all about the Savior. In Matthew it says, you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. He's available. He's here. We celebrate the birth of the Savior. But He didn't just come. He came the first time to save. He came the first time to seek and to save. He came the first time to live that sinless life for us and to go to the cross and shed His blood there so that we might be saved through faith in Him. And I'm thankful that one day He's coming back for the church to receive us into glory. I'm thankful the Bible says, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Aren't you glad for the Word? Can't we rejoice in God's Word? Can't we rejoice that God came to seek and save Mike Jones? If God didn't come for anyone else except for Mike Jones, that would have been enough. Put your name in that, for God so loved Brenda, or Jerry, or Wally, or Belinda. For God so loved them that He gave His only begotten Son. It's a gift. Christmas is about the gift of God. I preached a sermon long, long time ago about our gift exchange with God. Imagine yourself in a room, just you and God. And you're going to exchange presents. And God says, here is My Son, a gift for you. And you're thinking, I didn't come with anything. What do we give God? We give God everything we are. Everything about our life is His. Every blessing we ever have received is from the Father of Lights. And so our gift back to God needs to be everything. All that we are. All that we think, all that we say, in every day we live. God loved us enough to send His Son to die in our place to assure us of eternal life. How much do we love God? God loves sinners. All sinners. Us sinners. Me. That's what the Christmas story is. The Christmas story is a love story. Do we look at it that way? I'm looking forward to seeing some of my kids at Christmas, aren't you? Some family. I'm looking forward to getting stuff. I already got my present. I'm looking forward to being able to give stuff to other people. But sometimes on Christmas, we neglect the most important gift of all. The gift of Jesus who gave us eternal life. This year, when the family is around you, when you're eating all the food, apple cobbler, by the way, Diane, just thought I'd throw that in. When you're taking time to be with your family, remember this. The greatest gift of all is the gift of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. We watched that this morning, and you heard that this morning when I said, does God love us? And Christopher said, yes. Pray with me. Our Father and our God, how grateful we are.